Larry Stein's about to turn this whole thing into a tribute to, for the next hour and a half, to Marsha Pearlstein, who passed away on Sunday, a very dear woman that has done so much for this station and as well as for this community. So Larry's up. I'm out. Take care, folks. KPTZ.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. And I know ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. She's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away. I wonder this time where she's gone. I wonder if she's gone to stay. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. And this house just ain't no home. Anytime she goes away. And I know she's gone. Ooh. Oh, it's not warm when she's away. Ah, ain't no sunshine when she's gone. Oh, she's always gone too long. Oh, anytime she goes away. Anytime she goes away. Oh, anytime she goes away. Yeah. Oh, anytime she goes away. She's gone. And everybody knows this house just ain't no home. No, 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 no.
KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. I'm Larry Stein. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. One of the pieces of music suggested for today, where we are going to talk about our wonderful friend Marsha Pearlstein, who passed away last Sunday night after a long, long period of illness that she had been struggling with for many, many years. And she died peacefully with her wife, Nyla, her sister, Sherry, her great friend, Karen, by her side at Harborview Hospital in Seattle. We're going to spend the next 90 minutes with great friends of Marsha. I mean, you'll understand that this last song we heard is probably the only sad song we're going to play because people are feeling Marsha's presence really with us. even at this difficult period, Marcia was so important to this community, and for the next 90 minutes, you're going to hear about it from so many people, so I don't even have to say anything. We're just opening this up to lots of people who are going to be trooping through here, some people who were recorded, some clips of Marcia's voice. I think we need to actually start this with this clip. It'll just take me to get it, a second to get it.
This is Treasures and Pleasures, or Pleasures and Treasures, the interchangeably monikered show. This is Marcia Pearlstein, your friendly neighborhood interviewer. Go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can. Until next time.
The familiar sign-off, sometimes sign-on, by Marcia Pearlstein. The catchword now we're using is go gently, or if you can't go gently, go as gently as you can. Marcia's catchword that she borrowed from somebody else, very clear about everything. We all borrow things from people we learn from. She learned from many people. We all learn from her. But you'll hear that phrase a lot, I think, today. I brought in for this first half hour, we're going to start with a few of our colleagues here at KPTZ. Colin Foden, let me make sure I've got your microphones on. They're all a jumble. Steve Evans and Colin Foden. Colin, are you there?
I'm here.
There you are. And
you can see me.
I got the right microphone exactly at the right time. Steve Evans, are you there?
I am here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Colin, maybe I could go to you because you're one of the four core founders of KPTZ. We all met Marcia at that early phase when she heard that we were making a radio station. And
right.
I have to do some technical stuff here on the computer, so you take it.
Marcia was one of those people who sort of blessed the station. She came in and everything she did was more than we could have hoped for. I think the thing about Marcia was that she was so encouraging to everybody else. I don't remember a negative. I'm sure there were negative words from her, but I don't remember any that came anybody's way. So she was encouraging everybody, whether it was the music choice or the writing or whatever it was. So she was a wonderful presence in that way. So, yeah, we're all very, very sad to have her leave us.
That really was one of the things about Marcia that came out. There was a little session that was held at the Quaker Meeting House several weeks back when Marcia was in failing health, and a bunch of her friends like came together, and some came from quite far away. Uh-huh. And we all sat around and talked about Marcia, and it was really interesting how person after person said, she was my greatest cheerleader. She always was. And, you know, and everybody she met and supported sort of felt like they were special to uh-huh. her. But it was interesting to find out that so many people felt that way.
So many special people.
Right, yeah. Every single person she ever met was very special person.
Yeah, but it was sincere. It wasn't.
It was, absolutely.
It wasn't just done to make people feel good. She, I think she genuinely was interested in other people. Well, obviously she had, three psychology degrees, and so she was kind of clearly interested in human nature. And you left Marcia feeling better for the experience.
Oh, always felt boosted. Yeah. Every interaction, anytime I talked to her on the phone or anything, I would end up in a very cheerful mood afterward.
Right.
I think Tim Quackenbush said this in one of his comments. I mean, if you go online to our Facebook page, you will not believe the volume of comments that have come in about Marcia. And take a look at that. One way to it is through our Facebook page. I think we're going to try to put a lot of those comments up on our webpage as soon as we can get that technically done. But Tim said Tim, who's usually a pretty smiley, happy person, but he said, there was one person. She was one of the very few people who always made me smile. Always.
Always, yes.
And and those of us who have been with her for so long and been so close to her, one thing that keeps on coming up is that radiant smile that opened things up, that right. basically welcomed you in, that appreciated you. If you go to, again, to our website, there's a picture of her and her wife, Nyla, partner of 30 years, who were here at a concert. The picture on our website is the two of them listening to a concert after one of our fund drives a couple of years ago, just enjoying the music with this radiant smile on Marcia's face. Just about every picture that you'll see on there has a radiant smile on Marcia's face.
She was always smiling. She always seemed to be the happiest person you knew, which was the reason that it was so astonishing to me when I finally found out that she was actually very sick and had been the whole time I'd known her.
Right.
That just really astounded me.
Yeah.
And any time you'd asked her about her health, she would deflect the question and say, "Oh, let's not talk about me. Let's talk. What are you doing? What are you up to?"
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she was a delight. I often think when we do these kind of things, it would be. I hope she knew that. I hope she knew what she meant to everybody because, we're sharing it now, but I hope that we all had a chance to tell her how much she meant while she was alive. I think that's important.
Yeah, she did deflect. She did deflect comments about her.
Yeah.
And I think one thing we'll hear in the next 90 minutes is she so often didn't want to talk about herself.
Right.
And
right.
she had such an amazing story. And we all tried saying, let's interview you on Pleasures and Treasures. No.
It's not about me. She turned that down.
Yeah, so many times from all of us.
Yes.
But you hang out with Marcia long enough and you talk to all of her friends and family and the stories come out and we'll get some of them today.
Sure, that'd be great.
One thing I really have to appreciate, Allison Arthur at the Port Townsend Leader and Jefferson County Leader, she gave me a call a couple days ago and she, on short notice, because Marcia passed on Sunday, the paper came out this morning. There's a wonderful article on page A10 of the Leader, so take a look at it. KPTZ honors arts patron Pearlstein. Allison spoke to a couple other people and took the information that the Leader had previously published when Marcia was named Angel of the Arts a few years ago by the Port Townsend Arts
That's
Commission.
Right.
So they had good information, and it was so wonderful that they were able to honor Marcia when she was around with us, and she was so excited and so proud at that designation. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful article. Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Port Townsend Leader, for being right on top of it. I'm sure we'll hear more in the newspapers about her in the next weeks. Steve, you worked with her on a lot of news coverage, and that was quite a experience to work with Marcia on breaking news coverage or on intense news coverage. Why don't you tell me a little bit about going out with Marcia?
Well, as we know, I mean, it was really interesting for me to work with Marcia because, you know, like I come from, like a journalism school background. I got my master's degree in journalism at UC Berkeley, and one of the lessons they always teach you is, like, you are not part of the story, you are just there to sort of like reflect the story back to the public. But Marcia never had that kind of training, and basically I think she would have just said that that was nonsense. I mean, Marcia,
thank goodness,
Marcia was a thorough participant, you know, in like the events that she wanted to cover. I mean, she, and she and I, the things that we covered together were really, you know, like as you know, like her condition was failing more and more, and she was, relegated to a wheelchair like much of the time, and she couldn't really get around and stir in the crowd the way she liked to, and so we went to a big rally that took place after the Orlando shootings at the Pulse nightclub and Gay Pride Parade, and then, of course, at the Women's March last year, which is the last thing that we covered together, and that was the Compass that I ran this week. I did a rerun of that. And at any of these events, Marcia would, you know, like she would sort of like order her minions to go out. She'd find me a young person and bring them over here. I want to talk to that man, you know, and she would, you know, have us, you know, like hook in the people that she wanted to talk to. And then, you know, she would, you know, interview them in her enthusiastic, inimitable, you know, like, you know, Marcia style.
Yeah.
And then.
And you know, but you know what? I didn't mind being pushed around by her. I mean, no, we were all pushed around by her a lot, but we knew where it was coming from. I mean, it was coming from the right place.
Oh, very good heart.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And, I have a clip here, I think, that you supplied me with Marcia talking at the Women's March. And I
right,
think
and this is an example of how she, like, you know, was a participant in the events. She was not, you know, just an objective reporter standing aside. She was there, like, you know, making her own speeches.
One thing we'll talk about later, and my wife Patty and I have talked about this. Marcia, you use the word participant. Marcia was a participant in history, not just a witness to history.
That's true.
Marcia was a participant in history, and the story of the connections with Marcia to such important things of all of our people who are in our 60s, 70s, 50s, basically the everything from the 60s on, Marcia's participation in it, not just witnessing, and Marcia's shoulder-to-shoulder contact with really important people who were involved in this are kind of staggering, and she wouldn't talk about it. So we will bring those stories out, I think, a little further as we explore it with her pals at Berkeley, where she was from the 60s on. So amazing, amazing. Let's hear Marcia at the Women's March, accompanied by Steve, right?
Yeah, you won't hear me here, though. This is just a bite from Marcia.
Okay, great. At the Women's March recently. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on.
This is actually the 2017.
I want to give a special shout out to the young people who are here, the babes who are being held in their mother's arms. When they grow up, they will see pictures of themselves beginning to fight oppression at a very early age. And the moms that bring them and know that it's important. A shout out also to our brothers who are standing side by side with us, because they know unhappy women are going to foster unhappy men. And finally, my first march was 1959. Youth March for Integrated Schools in Washington, D.C. And I want to say that the spirit of this march has that march, has the same wonderful intensity as that march. And we did make a difference then, and we will make a difference now.
Marcia Pearlstein at the Women's March, one of the many local events that she participated here in Port Townsend as she could. And she just did her best to get out there and do it. You know, pain be damned. Let me just go out there and do it as much as I can, even if I have to go back home and sleep for 2 days to get over it. So we were all witness to that. So,
sure. Well, she did her best, actually, to make sure that we didn't really witness the pain.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, when, you know, she was out in her public, she was, yes, that smiling,
she
cheerful.
She was Marcia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She did one thing we'll talk about. Jeanette Forrest from the Port Townsend Film Festival will be in later, and she was a great lover, supporter of Marcia. Marcia loved the film festival, and Marcia would come out for that film festival opening night. It was a hard slog to do that 2 hours live every year from the opening of the festival, but boy, that was a high point for her. That she needed to be there and do that, and she did her best. And she did her interviews and then went and rested in the other room for a little bit and came back and did some more interviews. We traded off.
Yeah, you wouldn't know. I mean, you just would not know that there was something so seriously wrong when she's around.
Yeah. So anyway, Marcia, we all, those of us who knew and loved Marcia and worked with Marcia, know that Marcia's here with us. I mean, she is literally here with us, and we're going to hear her voice. She's smiling over our shoulders. She wouldn't want us to be talking about her so much, but I think maybe now she'll appreciate it.
And she can't defend herself anymore.
Yeah, just smile, Marcia. Enjoy it. We love you. And, yeah, Colin, you brought in a piece of music. I asked people for bits of music, and you know, your specialty is opera, and you're actually helping me understand and love opera more than I ever had before. And you picked a piece that I think is appropriate, and I think you should introduce it with with some of the words, so we know what it is.
Well, you did ask me to produce a piece that was sad and soothing.
Soothing, sad and soothing. So there is,
you know, some sad, so it wasn't much of a. It wasn't much to go on. But I picked a something that people would probably recognize. It's a Visidati, which is I Lived for My Art from Tosca. And we have African-American Jesse Norman is the soprano.
Wow.
The words are, I lived for my art. I lived for love. I never did harm to a living soul. With a secret hand, I relieved as many misfortunes as I knew of. Always true. We're always with true faith, and I think that sort of seemed to me that summed up Marcia. It's a beautiful piece, but it's the setting isn't quite what I would hope
from Tosca.
From Tosca,
Jesse Norman. Marcia would love to hear this.
Yeah.
Colin, reintroduce that piece of music
for Marcia?
From Tosca, Vizni Dati, which is Date, I should say. My pronunciation leaves something to be desired.
You're excused.
Thank you. Jesse Norman. And as I say, the scene is not necessarily appropriate because she's about to sacrifice herself for her lover, but the words seem like they fit.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, Steve, your compass was, you know, very quickly converted for what compass was going to be on this week to replay an important older compass that featured you and Marcia covering. Which march?
It was the first women's march at the inauguration of Donald Trump. And
so this was on Monday, which is Compass at Monday at noon and 5, and it's repeating.
Right. It'll repeat Saturday at noon.
For final time. And then it is on our podcast page. So you go to Compass, and it will be there. You can listen to it.
That's right. It's there now, so you can.
One of Marcia's greatest hits, and we're going to be bringing back. And, of course, Marcia's programs, Pleasures and Treasures and Under the Rainbow, are on our podcast link. So you can go listen to Marcia anytime you want, and they're going to be there. And I think what we're going to be doing is, over time, I'm going to do a selected series of replays of Marcia's programs during our news blocks and have a really chance to listen to the great work that she did again. And
a lot of really wonderful interviews
over the years. She was our first, she was her friend, our friendly neighborhood interviewer. We joked, we called her our Barbara Walters or Terry Gross.
Right. Yeah.
Terry Gross, take your pick.
But that's, even from a historical standpoint, a lot of those interviews are really important.
That's right.
Not everybody that she interviewed is going to be around her.
Some are gone already. She made it a point of speaking to elders and speaking to people who needed to be heard before they were gone from our midst.
Right.
She was really involved with a group, they call themselves, I forget the whole name, but the kind of old lesbians history group.
Mm-hmm.
And they were they did a lot of oral histories with people in this community that have been here for a very, very long time and have been quiet until their ability to come out and be vocal. So, Marcia, that's an important part of what Marcia did.
Yeah.
Marcia and Nyla. We spoke to Ellen Bongiorno, one of our great broadcasters, and we still play her program, repeats of her program, Sing It Sister, even though she's in New York now. She moved to New York to be with her love, and she's happy in New York. She's settled into a new job at a wonderful hospital in New York. She developed her hospital work skills here at Jefferson County Healthcare. Ellen was sad to leave Port Townsend, but is happy in New York. And I spoke to Ellen yesterday, and I wanted to give Ellen a chance to speak. And then after that, we have a clip from a piece that's one of my favorite that I've ever done in radio. And I did it with Marcia after the Supreme Court decision in 2015 legalizing gay marriage. There was an impromptu demonstration over on Sims Way and near the co-op. And Marcia and I went out and covered it right away, and you'll hear a clip of that, which also includes Ellen Bongiorno's voice. So, Steve and Colin, I think I've got a bunch of other people waiting in the ante room, in the green room. But without your work, we wouldn't have Marcia on the radio the way we do. You know, we wouldn't be KPTZ without Marcia. So, I have to thank you guys for being part.
Thank you, Larry. Great effort.
Yeah. Ellen Bongiorno talking to us from New York yesterday. Ellen, you're in New York City.
I am, and lately I've been thinking of where I live as the birthplace of Marcia Pearlstein. I don't remember. Was she from Brooklyn? I don't remember what borough.
I have to clarify it. I think the Bronx.
Well, anyhow, she's very much with me and has been for the last couple of weeks. She called me a couple of weeks ago and let me know that she was probably going to be leaving the building, as it were, pretty soon.
Yeah.
So we just had a very brief little chat, and I really appreciated that you reached out to me to let me know that. But I just, you know, in a way, I have a big sister feeling about Marcia, and she was such a confidant, a counselor, certainly a huge cheerleader for me, and she's probably the number one fan of me and my radio show at KPTZ, Sing It Sister, and she often would call me after she listened to the program and let me know how much she enjoyed this week's show, and that meant so much to me.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because she wasn't, I mean, she justifiably loved your program, but, you know, she acted that way to me too. She was the person who would call me up after the show and say, "Hey, pal, you knocked it out of the park." You know?
Exactly. I've heard that same expression.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Didn't that make you feel great?
Oh, I mean, you know, those of us who do radio shows, we do great work. We feel like, wow, I did a great show. And maybe if you're lucky, two people tell you it was good.
Exactly.
Often it was Marcia first. So.
And she really had a gift for making people feel loved and special.
That's what's coming across from people communicating. On Facebook and on the website and letters that we're seeing about her. I mean, the outpouring of people's memories of her, that's one of the major ones that they talk about, is how supportive and how loved they felt, people felt by her.
I've actually been hearing her voice in my head a lot the last couple of days, too, and she would usually call me kiddo, which always made me laugh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know she meant so much to KPDZ, and she meant so much to the film festival and the arts community in town. And she had little roots in lots of different areas of town, little different communities here and there. And Marcia was part of so many of those. But, you know, she was a huge presence in the LGBT community in Port Townsend. And I, for one, and I'm sure many, many people really, really appreciated Under the Rainbow, her program on KPTZ, along with Treasures and Pleasures. I mean, those were two staples of KPTZ for several years. And I don't know, she was just such a down-home gal, but there for everybody.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, we've all been touched by her in that kind of way. And we've all been changed by knowing Marcia. I feel that I have.
Yeah.
Totally changed for the better just because she was in our lives.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of us are talking about it now. And my image is that enormous, infectious smile that Marcia could have when she was enjoying what she was seeing. Some of it was the fruits of her efforts. Some of it was just your production or people she really liked doing their great work. And there was this giant smile on her face.
Yeah, that picture I posted on Facebook of the two of us. I just came across that the other day and had forgotten that it was even in my photo collection. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so great.
People are really commenting on it because it's that infectious smile in a lot of the pictures that we have of her.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so. And her life has just been, you know, she was in so much pain for so long, but yet she just squeezed every drop of enjoyment that she could out of life, and that was such an inspiration to me, and I know many others.
Yeah. Yeah, she said this to me a number of times and to her family and to those close to her, that the work that she was enjoying doing here at the radio station, talking to people, sharing their stories, bringing their stories, their best selves out for others to see, she said that kept her alive. That gave her something, that gave her a reason to be here in the face of a tremendous pain that she suffered and really kept from other people. She didn't let you know how much pain she was in for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a trooper. What a brave girl.
Yeah.
She's going to be so missed. Yeah. And even though I'm here and I'm not there in Port Townsend anymore, you know, I miss her. I still miss her being in the world.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now I figure, hey, she's all around. She might be here right now in this room with me.
She's right over your shoulder. I mean, we're all carrying her. In a way, it's a real interesting way to think about how you go on after you're not here in the world anymore. You are really carried by other people, and she is.
I think she's making the rounds, and it's great. I'm really so relieved for her that she was finally able to escape the body that had been giving out on her for such a long time. And I like to think of her being free and flying around and dancing and being young and healthy and happy. And, you know, it's.
Yeah. Well, Ellen, thank you for everything you've done for this community as a whole, the LGBT community, your program, Sing It Sister, which is just an outstanding music program. And I think we're still airing reruns of it, right?
Yeah. I haven't tuned in on a Friday night lately, but Friday nights at 7, I think there are still,
it's too
still
archives,
right. Sing It Sisters.
It's too popular to take off. Ellen Bongiorno, host of Sing It Sister, great longtime friend of Marsha Pearlstein, one of Marsha's loves. She's loved following you and what you're doing, and we know they felt the same about her. So thank you for joining us. We're all just celebrating Marsha. And
yes, we are. Thank you so much for including me, Larry. I really appreciate it. And
great.
You take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ellen Bongiorno. On KPTZ, Port Townsend, you're listening to KPTZ, and we're doing a tribute to Marsha Pearlstein, who passed last Sunday, and she was such an important part of this radio station and such an important part of this community, such an important part of this world, and we're hearing that from people who loved her and people who worked with her, and there's another clip of a wonderful piece that Marsha, I had the pleasure, one of the highlights of my, I think, radio career was doing this piece with Marsha when the gay marriage Supreme Court decision came down. There was a impromptu demonstration over it on Sims Way out across from the food co-op, and Marsha, we heard it was happening, and Marsha and I just ran down there. Luckily, Marsha could walk around at that point, and it was a couple of years ago, and you got to hear some of this stuff. I may not be able to play all of it, but this is Marsha in action at the celebration of the Supreme Court decision that made gay marriage legal.
We are here to celebrate the Supreme Court decision of this morning, and it is quite amazing to have happened in our lifetime. And we're going to wander around and talk to other LGBT folks in our community. And it's also been a really big year for transgender understanding. Things are just really starting to happen. But the most important thing I want to say, for my part, as a lesbian that was at the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream march, we've had so many allies that have helped us in our cause. I hope that the GLBT community can become allies in the anti-racism stuff that we really still have to handle. Young men cannot keep getting shot down for the crime of being black or brown or a person of color. And I do think that when this became really clear that it was a civil rights issue, not a church or religious issue, that's when it took traction. And the same is true, of course, for what we're doing with anti-racism. And I would love to see the GLBT community really step up.
Thanks, Marsha. We're standing here at the corner of Kearney and Sims Way, across from the co-op, between the co-op and the Chase Bank. Number of people are out with these wonderful rainbow flags. Marsha herself has a rainbow umbrella.
So we're going to wander around and we're going to ask other folks in this community. Susan Ambrosius, one of our most famous lesbians of the community.
Susan, you're here holding a beautiful multicolored rainbow flag.
Made by Peter Gritt.
Peter Gritt, an important member of the community.
Yes. We are thanking our straight but not narrow friends for supporting equal rights, civil rights, including all people in love. That's why we're grateful.
I think that's one of the things that Obama pointed out and other people are pointing out, that basically love triumphs.
Yes. And we are so grateful for the continued rising consciousness in this country. I've lived in countries where it had been civil rights for gay and lesbian people for 40 years, like in the Netherlands. They just couldn't even believe that the U.S. didn't have equal rights. And now we're getting there. We're almost going to join the developing world here.
Jason Victor Serenis, and he's
here with a big victory sign and a smile on his face.
Jason, I understand. I remember you sort of organized this, and you were anticipating this day.
But I didn't know what would happen, and so I bought four blank posters, hoping that I could do victory. But just in case, I was ready for, I don't know, the shame sign.
So what kind of reaction there so far have you been getting? You've been here for about an hour now. I've been getting a lot of appreciative honks and waves and victory signs.
Yeah, no one's booing. I'm really good at kind of reading people. So I can see the people who are at their wheel, who may be very carefully looking the other way, just like when there's a homeless person begging for money in the street and you don't want to give them money. You're somehow really focused on the traffic light. For the most part, people have been really, you know, really supportive. Certainly no one's throwing anything.
Hi, I'm Linda Roars. I live here in Port Townsend. Thank you, Marsha Pearlstein, for being here. And I'm not surprised to see you here because you've had the courage to be at these actions for decades.
Oh, it's not about me.
It is.
Linda,
it's about those that were here before me, waving a flag, having the courage to speak up for equality, because what blesses one blesses all. And it makes us all better Americans today, that sense of equality. And yes, two steps forward, one back for ethnic and racial equality and for gay, lesbian, bi, and trans equality. But here we are. Truth keeps marching on. And thank you to our straight but not narrow friends that helped carry the day, because though we're a strong minority, we're a small minority, and we have needed the love and the wisdom and the courage of our straight but not narrow friends to win this day. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Linda.
You've been here for a while.
Marsha Pearlstein and I were out at the demonstration. We have to cut the clip short because we have so many people here to talk in person about Marsha, but that little bit that where Marsha said, it's not about me, and Linda, who she was speaking to, said, yes, it is about you, Marsha, for being out there on the lines with the flags demonstrating before I could do anything like that. And so we could just play clips all day, and I will be recycling, I think, and replaying some of Marsha's greatest hits, I think, for us. We have a number of people who wanted to step in and speak, and Marsha, of course, loved music and loved performing, and Michael Townsend is here. Marsha loved Michael's work, and Michael, welcome. Let me make sure I have your microphone on. Are you there?
Hello there, Larry.
No, I don't hear you. Try now.
Okay, we're ready to go?
No, it's not. So move that other microphone over to you. Yeah, okay. Okay. Should that be on you now, Michael?
How's that doing?
That's better. Hi. Thanks for coming. You chose a song. You chose a song that would be close to Marsha's heart, because Marsha was an old protester, an old activist, and you've done some great work with the music of Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, all those great people. Why don't you tell us what you chose for Marsha?
Thank you. I just like to say I probably didn't know Marsha as well as some of the people you'll be hearing, but I immediately fell in love with her, like everyone. When I met her, she was working with people at the county jail, helping them go to appointments and with legal matters. So I know she was on my team there, really stepping up and helping some down-and-outers there. She was such a bright spirit. Every time I saw her, she just sparkled, and a real joy to be around and see. I know she was a social justice warrior in the best sense of that term. So I think she'd like this old Woody Guthrie song. He was in a refugee camp or a Hooverville in 1938, and he heard the old Baptist hymn, "This World Is Not My Home." And he got to be a little upset by that. But people writing off what's happening in this world because they'll be pie in the sky when they die. So he took off on that song and wrote, "I ain't got no home in this world anymore." Well, I ain't got no home. I'm just a roaming round. Just a wandering worker I go from town to town, and the police make it hard wherever I may go. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. My brothers and my sisters are stranded on this road, a hot and dusty road that a million feet have trod. Rich men took my house and drove me from my door, and I ain't got no home in this world anymore. I was working on the shares, and always I was poor. My crops I laid into the banker's store. My wife, she up and died all on the cabin floor. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. I've mined in your mines, and I gathered in your corn. I've been working, buddy, since the day that I was born. But now I worry all the time like I never did before. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore. As through this life you travel, you'll meet some funny men. Some will rob you with a six-gun, some with a fountain pen. The gambling man is rich, and the working man is poor. No, I ain't got no home in this world anymore. I ain't got no home in this world anymore. You're home now, Marcia.
Yeah. Michael Townsend doing a Woody Guthrie song in Marcia's honor. Thank you so much, Michael. I knew we would call on you and you would pick the perfect piece of music. Michael Townsend, great friend of the arts community, great part of the arts community here in Port Townsend, and a key person and a lover of Marcia, just like all of us, really. And Marcia, thank you, Michael. We got a whole bunch of people in the room outside. So, Nan, I actually we're having a little trouble with one of the microphones. Why don't you switch to that one and make that one available for other people? Yeah. We're talking about Marcia Pearlstein, our sadly passed last Sunday. Marcia, who's been in all of our hearts and all of our lives, in the life of KPTZ. I'm Larry Stein, of course. I didn't even introduce myself. This is the Bring Your Records segment of the day, of the week. And, of course, we're bringing Marcia's spirit here to all of us and letting people share their encounters with Marcia and their benefit that they received from Marcia and the contributions of Marcia for her life, really. She moved here in 2005 with her partner then, Nyla, now her wife. And Nyla and Sherry, her sister, and her friend Karen from Berkeley were with her when she passed last Sunday night at Harborview Hospital in Seattle. Nan Evans, the host of and producer of Nature Now, had some encounters with Marcia recently and had to do with poetry, and Nan wanted to come in with that. So, Nan, thank you for coming.
Thank you, Larry. Marcia and I were in a book group together, and this is a poem that she wrote, little over a year ago. It was just before the Women's March, and I was going back to the Women's March in D.C., and Marcia couldn't go. So she wrote this poem. It's entitled Armchair Activists, Gladly Passing the Baton. How I adore people who care, marching for social justice, a need we all share. Youth March for Integrated Schools, my first time to D.C. in 1959. We held hands, sang our hearts out, organized many a picket line. 2017, health issues dictate I can't be there. For a long time, I felt despair. But now, from D.C. to Seattle and countless cities everywhere, with hearts and smarts and ability to show how much they truly care, others gather while I am vicariously there. Sisters and brothers, all are truly everywhere. Each, as we are able, address racism, greed, and corruption. No stone unturned, trying to prevent democracy's abduction. Though I continue kvetching, comrades are stretching. My peers, side by side with the next generation, mobilize to express our intense frustration. As far away as I may seem, my gratitude to you all for fighting for our shared dream. As far away as I may seem, my gratitude to you all for fighting for our shared dream. That was Marcia Pearlstein.
Wow.
Written about a year ago.
That last line. Read those last couple lines again. As far away.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we can. Yeah.
I can do it.
Yeah.
As far away as I may seem, my gratitude to you all for fighting for our shared dream.
From Marcia.
Yeah, wow. From Marcia.
Wow. Nan, thank you so much for sharing that and coming
it's
in and volunteering.
My honor.
And being able to read that.
And my honor to have known her.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Okay, we have to do a little chair juggling. Anna Quinn just came in, Michelle Sandoval. We're having a little trouble with one of our microphones, so I've just got two mics that work. So we're doing musical chairs here. We're going to go a little longer on this show because we have to have, we were scheduled to go off at 11, but I think we're going to go a little longer because we have too many people to talk and too much to say about Marcia, and Marcia deserves all the time we give her. Anna Quinn, I asked you to come on in. Michelle Sandoval, I hoped you'd come in, and I'm so glad you did.
Thanks, Larry.
And Anna, your heartfelt post on Facebook, on your Facebook page, has gotten an incredible flood of response. Mm. I mean, from people, the way you wrote it, it's even people who didn't know Marcia, but they heard, if you go to it, you hear how it affected you, and they're writing with sympathy to you for feeling for what you've experienced, and people go, I wish I had known her.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anna, you are one of the core people. I mean, Marcia loved everybody, frankly, and we all feel like Marcia was right over our shoulder smiling all the time. And she was a major force of what made KPTZ what it is. We'll talk with Jeanette Force a little more about it later because Jeanette and the film festival was the way I actually first met Marcia. But Anna, why don't you just kind of launch off on Marcia?
Well, it's interesting. After I wrote that post, of course, I thought of hundreds of other things that I could have written about her. I mean, she obviously deserves a book, and I hope that will happen someday. I first met Marcia, it was 12 years ago when we first opened the Writer's Workshop. She was one of the first customers. And because you know Marcia, she burst up the stairs. We were in that little tiny place next to Max Grover's studio.
Yeah,
and she burst in and wanted to know what it was. And And she's been such an enthusiastic supporter of us all along. And it was interesting because Marcia had the knack of spending time with you and very quickly determining your strengths and figuring out how those strengths could be best used for the community. And she was wonderful at that. And also incredibly generous. When she found out what we did, she said, well, I want to buy a workshop for the love of my life. And that, of course, was Nyla. And she got her a workshop. And it was Nyla's first writing workshops. And now Nyla is writing novels and writing up a storm.
Yeah, Nyla, we know how important writing is to you, and we know that Marcia was so supportive of Nyla doing that
really
important
supportive.
Thing for herself.
Yeah.
Nyla and Sherry and Nyla's daughter Karina are listening probably right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show our love to you and. And I know this is an extremely difficult time for them, but Nyla, that support from Marcia.
Yeah.
Of course, we all felt that support in her
always.
Interactions with us.
Always,
yeah. Michelle, you came by. I knew you'd have something to say. I knew.
Yeah. I was just saying to Anna and Jeanette outside here that I didn't know Marcia. In the way that all of you did. I knew who she was, and the film festival radio interviews and such that she did. So I knew who she was. And would see her at the film festival out at the beer garden or whatever, and, just say hello. But then it was interesting to see Nan Evans in here because when we started to organize the Women's March a contingent that left, that came from Port Townsend and then went to D.C., given that we were all gray-haired women, we decided at one of the meetings that, gee whiz, we're fortunate. We can afford to go. We should sponsor some younger people. So we did. We decided. We put the word out that we wanted three younger people who wanted to go and that we would sponsor them with airline tickets, et cetera. And so I got a call one day when that word went out, and it was Marcia who called me on the phone. And so we started talking. We talked for a long time about the state of the world, her concerns, her life, our mutual depression. She was very emotional, crying on the phone. And I don't know. It was just, I just felt very fortunate that I had that hour conversation with her.
Yeah.
She sent a generous donation. She said, this is so great what you're doing. I'm so glad to be able to, give this money to support the youth who are going to go. And so I just thought I would come in to say that because I'm not one of the people that was in her life for a long time, and I was not one of her dear friends. And yet I was able to connect with her for that moment and got a piece of her story told to me. And so
That's an amazing story of the kind of connection you can make with Marcia quickly.
Right.
Very quickly, and and what came over from Marcia emotionally, and that's so. You were with Marcia just like all of us, really, because she was such an important part of this community in so many facets, and that's what we're talking about here. But her activism, and one thing where Anna, you mentioned a book. I mean, there needs to be
a memoir,
the story of Marcia, because it is her history when she would let it out to you in terms of. Her, we talked about her brushes with history. She was a part of history. She was connected with so many things that happened from the 60s on.
Yeah. Harvey Milk.
She was there. Name a person who was important.
She's
been there, and she knew them, and she stood by them. But she didn't want to talk about herself. Yeah. She wanted to talk about you.
And at the same time, she has three master's degrees in psychology. psychology.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and yeah. It's just mind-blowing.
A full career as a therapist. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And now her late career as a radio interviewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
that's right. Yeah.
You're, as she calls her, your friendly neighborhood interviewer.
Yeah.
So my tip of the hat to her, and yeah. I will give up my seat. I have to go to work, but okay. I'll exit. But I didn't want to not be able to say that even in that time, and her generous stories and her generosity in terms of sponsoring some of our kids.
Wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, Michelle
Larry.
Sandoval. Mm-hmm. Part of this community that appreciates Marcia, benefited from Marcia.